New ideas and new technology are causing seismic shifts in the media industry. Where are we headed? What does it mean? Keep listening. Media strategist Gabriella Mirabelli talks with the brightest minds in entertainment and business. Meet the innovators, the risk takers, and the disruptors on the front lines of change from Hollywood, Wall Street, Silicon Valley, and beyond. The future is coming to a screen near you. Are you ready? This is the Up Next podcast with Gabriella Mirabelli.
Welcome to Up Next. I'm your host, Gabriella Mirabelli. My guest today is Anna Bermudez, the founder and CEO of Tagit. As a tech entrepreneur, Anna has won various competitions, including the Hera Labs Fast Pitch, Tech Coast Angels Quick Pitch, and the Funding Post Pitch Competition. She was also recognized as a winner in the 2015 U.S. Hispanic Chamber of Commerce Foundation at the Table Technology Entrepreneurship Competition. As the CEO of Tagit, Anna has been a fellow in the Stanford Latino Entrepreneurship Initiative, as well as the Startup Leadership Program. Anna, thank you so much for joining us today.
It is so awesome to be here with you. Thank you.
Oh, well, first, for people who are not familiar with Tagit, can you give us a sort of Cliff Notes version of what it is?
Absolutely. Tagit is the mobile app where TV viewers buy items from their favorite TV shows. So if you're ever, or if you're anything like me and you're ever watching TV, you're probably paying attention to what the characters are wearing. I particularly always start at the shoes. And every time I saw a cool pair of shoes that I wanted, there was no easy way for me to buy it. So I thought to myself, hey, wouldn't it be awesome if we had an actual app where if you watch it and you want it, all you have to do is tag it. So that's what we created.
Now, is this true for any show? I can be watching any show and this works? Is that, do the shows have to participate in the app?
That's an awesome question. That's the idea. We're not following every TV show yet, but we are certainly working diligently at making that happen. So that even if it's outside of the United States or in the United States, anytime you are consuming some sort of media, watching a TV show, whether on your cable box or on your phone, you'll be able to buy anything you're watching at the moment that you're watching it.
Oh, wow. That is so cool. So backing up just a little bit, you have a very impressive bio. Is Tagit your first business?
Tagit is my first business that I started by myself. I came from the finance industry where I worked for big corporations. And then in 2011, my business partner and I started a wealth management firm here in San Diego. And I think that was really where the entrepreneur in me was born, because here I had an opportunity to co-found a tech company, a finance company in San Diego. And it was being involved in every part of the business and seeing it succeed that really inspired me to follow my idea with Tagit and start a business in the tech space all by myself.
So that's really, I mean, it isn't, although it does have a consumer purchase, you know, so in that sense, there's money involved, but it isn't a necessarily a logical leap from wealth management to how to spend your wealth. So how was it purely just you felt that this was a need? I mean, what caused you to really decide to that this was a viable thing? How did you go about exploring it?
I mean, you hit the nail on the head. It wasn't a logical decision. And every time I think back on it, I think to myself, what was I thinking? But it turned out to be the best decision I've ever made so far. It is not. It is not a logical transition to go from finance, wealth management into tech. But when I was in high school, I took a coding class. I was a computer science class. I learned how to code in C++. And it really opened my mind into a completely different space that I didn't even know existed. And to be very honest, the only reason I took that class is because it offered me a credit that didn't involve reading or writing. And I didn't have a computer at home. So I knew that if they gave me homework, they were going to have to give me a little more time because I couldn't go home and do it. So in my ways of trying to be lazier, I actually jumped into something that ended up being a life-changing experience because little did I know that in college I would become a business major and that maybe about 6 years after that I would start a business in tech. So it ended up being, again, one of the least logical things to do, but definitely one of the best things that I've ever decided on doing.
So when you started, did you create the prototype? Were you busy programming the prototype, or did you engage people in order to create the prototype for you?
That was the very first business decision I had to make. And that's a lie. The first one was leaving corporate. The second one was, do I focus on being the technical founder? So where I start this company and just as you said, you know, I'm programming a beta version or the prototype, or do I hire a team? You know, I was blessed enough to do very well in finance and I was saving money for retirement. Perhaps, you know, a family in the future. And then here comes this crazy idea. And I suddenly had some money to work with. And I decided that after having worked in sales and in wealth management for about 6 years, that my strengths were far greater in business development than they were in sitting and actually writing the code. Mm-hmm. So I hired a team, which certainly wasn't the least expensive decision to make. But it made the most sense for me and the time that I had to create this company.
Right, right. What has been the most challenging aspect of your journey, would you say?
Oh my goodness. And I talk about this more and more every single day. And before I answer, I want to share that I talk about it because after I do, the majority of the people say they can relate. And they say that, you know, it isn't something that's talked about often. But to answer your question, the most challenging thing about being an entrepreneur and starting your own company is definitely building your mental fortitude, if you will, or being able to overcome every challenge that comes with creating anything, especially a business. So I would say that, you know, it takes about 1,000 no's before you hear a yes. Certainly, there are many failures that come in between when you start a company and when your company is operational and running. But it's having that perseverance and having that mental capacity to think like, okay, this is just one challenge. I've learned from it. And the next time around, I will handle it differently and not letting it affect, you know, your ability to keep moving forward.
Right. Right. And conversely, what would you say has been the most rewarding aspect of what you've done?
Every single day, I get to wake up and work on an idea that I had while laying on my couch and watching TV. That in itself is awesome when I think about it. But what's even more awesome is that even though the idea came to me while watching TV, it's now become a business where I have employees and investors and companies that are actually interested in the solution that we've created to monetize ads and product placement.
Right, right. So here's a question in terms of just the functionality of the is an app that we have to download? Is it a web application so I can just go sort of mobile on the web? Is it through Facebook and other social platforms, or can I access it in a multiplicity of ways? How, if I'm a user, how do I adopt it?
We are a mobile app. So you go to the App Store, you type in Tagit. It's all one word and you're able to download it. It is a free app to use. The products are not free. You do have to pay for the products when you purchase them. But the great thing about Tagit, I don't want to ever confuse anyone in thinking they're going to come onto this app and buy free products. But the great thing about it is that the consumer is not charged anything extra to buy that product. We're simply facilitating the way in which product is identified and purchased. And it's a business and an opportunity that we have with the TV networks and the retailers involved in making that happen for the consumer.
At what point in the conversation are you brought into the conversation? I mean, for instance, you have brands, let's say HGTV, they do a lot of home improvement things, right? So at what point, you know, obviously they have deals in place with brands to help, you know, provide things that are used in the home improvements. Are you brought into that conversation or do you just identify where they are? Do you just work with the brand? Do you work, you know, do you team with the ad sales group of the network so that that's part of the service they're offering to the brand? How does it work?
So it started out with a team of interns that would, you know, volunteer their time in the summer. And I don't even know why they would want to volunteer in a startup. Honestly, it's a crazy, crazy world when you first start a company. But they were kind enough to come on board. You know, we all learned along the way. And at first, we were watching a lot of television, identifying product, and then curating that product on what was trending, what was more popular. And although that was great, it certainly wasn't a scalable way to approach the business. So I kindly volunteered in the company to be the one to go out into the market and research this. That meant that I had to go to Hollywood and I had to meet people at production studios. I was invited to a Hollywood Hills party one time. I was so nervous because you see it on TV and it seems like, you know, a very intimidating experience. And it was. But it was in one of those parties where I had an opportunity to meet the president of the Costume Guild at the time. And, you know, of course, as an entrepreneur would, I pitched him on the idea. The reason I pitched him is because his name is Sal Perez. He is the creative director for the Mindy Project. I believe Pitch Perfect 2, he was also in charge of some of, you know, the creative wardrobe process there. And a few other big name celebrities. So when I pitched him, he said, you know, this isn't the first company to try and solve this problem. I said, no, I agree with you. Certainly we've had competitors in this space, but what do you think is going to make Tagit any different? And he said, well, you need to start talking to the television networks and you need to start talking to the media companies, because although we have all of this information cataloged and ready for it to be used, we don't necessarily make that decision. So it was at that point that I realized that I had to come to the ad sales teams, to the digital asset teams within these media companies, to the technology business development teams. And what I realized was that although Tagit as an app sells products to TV viewers, Tagit as a tech platform facilitates the way in which companies, whether through ad sales or through their digital platforms, can make additional revenue.
I see. Interesting. Where are you focusing your energies? I mean, in terms of growing?
Anywhere and everywhere where a tech solution to generate more revenue is needed. So I just got back from a conference in Detroit. It was a conference put on every year by the National Minority Supplier Development Council. Then you have leaders from the supplier diversity with companies all over the country congregate in a city for almost 5 days, really. And they have all of these activities where you get to meet people. Well, I got to meet a big leader in entertainment, and I was able to pitch the company in a way where we could sell more merchandise during sporting events. So it's not just about TV and consuming media, but it's about being able to capitalize on opportunities where entertainment is happening. So, you know, maybe very soon in the future, you'll be able to tag it when you're watching your favorite team play football or baseball. Or if you're at a concert and you want to buy something that you see, but you don't want to take away from the experience of you actually being entertained in that moment.
I see. Right. Okay. It wouldn't work in a live environment though, right? I mean, it's purely, it has to deal with the interface. Would that be fair? Or are you also like, I mean, if I'm actually at the sporting event, would I be able to do it or no?
Well, that's the idea that we were discussing earlier this week, was being able to happen in real life, if you will, so that you're
in real life. Okay.
So that you're shopping on the spot, it's on demand and it's in real time, and taking away that lag. Because a lot of the studies show in retail that from the time you're exposed to an ad to the time you actually buy a product that was inspired by that ad, it is a very, very likely chance that you're buying a competing product and not exactly what you saw in the advertisement. So we're trying to capitalize on that opportunity by minimizing the amount of time that a consumer has from the time they see a product to the time they actually purchase it.
Well, here's a question for you. Your app is free. The service is amazing. What's your revenue model? Who does pay for, I mean, somebody has to pay, right?
Absolutely. and I think I think that the people that should pay are the people with the bigger pockets. And those would be the corporations, not necessarily the consumers. So then we have, you know, agreements with retailers where every time we sell a product as a facilitator of having, you know, made that purchase happen, we receive a part of the revenue. You know, very much like every other tech company out there, we have advertising space. So if some of our retail partners want to show up first in line or have the most appearances in their product, you know, there's a price for that as well. And, you know, this is a data game. So when you use our app, we have access to what you're watching, what you're purchasing. And this is all of the data that we're gathering as a company. And we brought on our data scientist a few months ago. Her name is Carolina Forsman. She's been a data scientist for 11 years now. And being able to have someone of her caliber who's worked with companies like JP Morgan Chase and Progressive Insurance to be able to analyze, compartmentalize a lot of our data and then show us and our partners why this information is valuable and how it can be used to bring in more revenue. That becomes a very valuable service for us to provide to our partners as well.
Mm-hmm. Would you ever partner with something like Pinterest where people are pinning or other social platforms?
I love Pinterest. I love Pinterest. And Pinterest is actually already selling some of their pins. They make some of their pins shoppable. Mm-hmm. But the reason I started Tagit is, well, one of the reasons, right? Is because I learned that, you know, brands are very, very loyal to what they do. So for example, if I were to say coffee, you would probably associate that with Starbucks. Mm-hmm. If I were to say breakfast sandwich, somebody would probably associate that with McDonald's. Social media, right. maybe Facebook. Shopping, maybe Amazon. Pinterest to pin products. So Tagit started with the idea in mind that we are the shopping app for people that watch TV and want to buy. So we are very different from Pinterest in that regard. And although I am a huge fan of Pinterest and I use it quite often, I've never purchased anything on there. But I do use it as inspiration to see what I want to buy maybe the next time I go shopping.
Right, right. Well, that's interesting. Yeah, because I don't think of it as a shopping location. So that says something. Would you ever expand into, or is there an interest into adding a social aspect to Tagit? So that people, because people talk about their purchases and like sharing their purchases, and then they could amplify their purchases. If people, for instance, programming is discovered through social channels, consuming, you know, what a better way to recommend, I got this and wouldn't you like it? Is there a social connection on there as well? Or is it purely, I'm the consumer and I'm doing this on my own?
Social all the way. We live in a time where we as a society like to overshare many, many things. And why not share what you're buying? Why not share where you bought it from and what you're watching? So it's certainly an option that is available to Tagit users today. You can share it with your friends across various social media sites with a click of a button. You could text it. You could email it. And when you tag it, it's actually added, the tag, the picture of the item that you purchased is added to your profile on Tagit. So if you and I are friends or Tagit, our friends on Tagit, I can go onto your profile and see what you've purchased. And if we have similar interests in fashion or, you know, in things that we wear, then I could buy it directly from your profile without even having to watch the TV show.
Oh.
So, yes. We have that flexibility.
That's interesting. Within your universe, do you have influencers, people who seem to follow and create trends?
We do not have influencers at this moment, but it is certainly something that we've been exploring to get Tagit to the next level.
Mm. Well, it's interesting. Just switching gears a little bit, sort of backing up, you know, there's been a lot in the news about the challenges that women entrepreneurs run into when looking for fundraising. I'm wondering if you've ever felt that things were more challenging because you were a woman, if you've ever run into any of that.
How much time do we have for this interview? Because I have many, many thoughts on that. It's actually one of the things that I became very passionate about in the process. Just because I often can't believe how unfair it really is sometimes. So yes, it's definitely far more challenging. I could never minimize that, especially not my experience with that. I can say is that what I've learned in the process is that staying positive is something that's helped me get through the challenges. So certainly I have a hard time believing that my male counterparts or competitors in my space are judged by what they're wearing or by how they look. I remember one of my first experiences as an entrepreneur. I just finished the pitch competition and, you know, I worked really hard and I won. And there was an opportunity to talk to the investors that attended this competition afterwards. And one of them approached me with his wife and said, "Congratulations, it was that dress that you're wearing that won the competition. But can you really run a business? That's the real question."
No.
I'm standing there looking at him and looking at his wife like, did he really just say that? Are you not going to say anything? Because you obviously heard him. You're standing next to him. But no, they were just, you know, looking at me and just staring and with a smile. And with a smile, I answered right back, "Well, thank you. I liked this dress. That's why I bought it. But, you know, it's actually my business acumen, my experience, and having already built a profitable multi-million dollar business, my ability to present that won that competition." So, you know, and that's just one of the many examples where I have a hard time believing that men in entrepreneurship also experience.
Wow. That's really, I mean, I think that really sums it up so well. What's also interesting is the genesis of your idea is unique because it's an interest, the way you said nobody else has really cracked the problem. And perhaps it's because you were coming at it from a different angle and that you know how women tend to purchase, and if the women tend to purchase for the household, how that works.
That is absolutely true. I do, fortunately, I am a woman, and unfortunately, I know a little too much about shopping. I didn't just come up with this shopping problem on my own. I mean, I learned from my mother, who also loves to shop, and my grandmother and my aunt. So I didn't think that we were alone in, you know, how we think about the common thread between all of our shopping decisions was that if we saw something and we had the way to the means to buy it at that moment, it was very likely that we were going to purchase that product and not return it. Impulsive shopping, I guess you can call it. And we all had that in common. So once I started taking my idea a little more seriously and looking at the statistics, impulsive shopping is actually something that is very, very popular in the retail space. And corporations certainly monetize on that. So then that became the idea behind Tagit. Let's make these purchases easy and instant, so that people can buy what they want as soon as they want it.
Right, right. Well, it's fantastic. And I hope it continues to thrive and that you succeed beyond your wildest expectations. I think it's really interesting and it's really, and monetizing, bringing the monetization to content creators is so critical to keep good content on the air. And I think this is a great way to do it, which is less invasive. So kudos to you for coming up with a solution.
And it is. You're absolutely right. It's less invasive because the power of the ad is given to the consumer with Tagit. You are looking at the ad and you decide whether or not it's something that you want to buy. Instead of the ad being pushed onto you and saying, "Hit by this," you as the consumer are in control. You're scrolling through products because you know you're interested in buying something. And ultimately, you're the one who gets to push that buy.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, we have reached the end of our conversation. Thank you so much for spending the time with us and talking
already,
about what you're
but
doing.
I feel like
we've just begun.
I feel like the fun just started.
Well, it's really great. Really good fun. I do have one thing that I'd like to do with people. So it's not totally over, but the questions are over. I have a list of words. I like to read a word and get a one word response, just your top of mind response. And it's just interesting to me to see really the variations among our guests in terms of what they tend to think about all of these different words. So are you ready to play? Just one word response. You ready?
Oh man, a lot of pressure. Yes, I'm ready.
Okay, Facebook.
Social media.
Google.
Oh, that's two words though, isn't it?
That's okay.
Search.
Snapchat.
Filters.
Twitter.
POTUS.
Sorry. YouTube.
Videos.
Ad blockers.
Trouble?
Art.
Fascinating.
VR.
Innovative.
AI.
Oh man, I should have used innovative with AI too.
No, you can.
Innovative again.
There you go. And the last thing is, what excites you most that's coming down the pike?
To not get too specific, opportunities. You know, I was lucky enough to have met you through the MVCU Edge Accelerator, and having participated in an accelerator that focuses on media and, you know, making connections between entrepreneurs and media opportunities is certainly something that Tagit has been capitalizing on since a couple of months ago. And so the opportunities that are in the pipeline are very, very exciting. And what's even more exciting is being able to manage the growth along the way.
Fantastic. Wow. I'd like to close by thanking a few important people who have helped bring the program to life. First, my friend, Rob Naughton, the amazing voice artist who recorded our open. And of course, thanks to my production team over at Microfame Media. And a big thank you to our guest, Anna Bermudez. And of course, most importantly, all of you, the members of our amazing audience, thank you. I'll be talking to you again next week, right here on Up Next.